Luke chapter number 10. Now, Kim and Noah and Abigail, they may leave a little early, and some others might need to for the funeral home. They're supposed to be there at 1 o'clock, and so, but I'm not worried about that. But just, you know, sometimes people have funerals and things, they have to leave, so if they do that, we won't let that bother us. Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10, we're going to begin reading at verse number 38, and we'll read through verse number 42. That's the end of the chapter, so we'll give you a moment to turn there. Luke chapter number 10, I have preached in years gone by out of this passage of Scripture, but I have not preached this message before. Luke chapter 10, verse 38, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him, and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for letting us be here today. I want to thank you for your blessings. Lord, I want to thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I wish we could just get to the place sooner rather than later, that we could just come to church and not have anything on our minds but just worshiping you and giving you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. I'm honest when I say today that it puts pressure on us to have things to have to go and do, and sometimes it can't be helped. So, Lord, I just pray you'd help us. I pray you'd forgive us for our super busy lives, and sometimes we're so busy we put you on the back burner, and we shouldn't do that. But God, that's just how our lives are, and we're guilty many times. Lord, help us. Speak to our hearts today. Forgive us for our sins. Help me as I try to preach this morning that the message would speak to our hearts and help us during these busy times in which we live. God, may we never forget you and what's really important. I pray you'd speak to us. I pray you'd help us. I pray you'd give liberty. I really pray you'd take the message and use it to be a blessing to somebody and a help to somebody today. We'll thank you for all that you do and all that you've done. We praise your holy name. We come and ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. Let's read verse number 40 one more time, what the Bible says there in verse number 40. It says, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving." I really appreciate the songs Brother Nathan picked out this morning. I noticed one of those songs had the word, and I can't remember now which one it was, but it says, "Are you cumbered with a load of care?" And if Brother Nathan and I could have got together and picked out songs to go along with the message, we couldn't have done a better job. But we didn't do that. The Lord was in the arrangements. But what's the chances, just from a worldly standpoint, that the message and the song would both deal with the subject of being cumbered with a load of care? But the Bible said that Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." And I want to try to preach today on the subject of the straw that broke the camel's back. Have you ever heard that saying? It's a common saying. And I think probably most everybody has heard about the straw that broke the camel's back. I did some study into where that saying comes from, and it's an Arab proverb, and it's about loading up a camel to the point that it just can't move. You can put so much weight on it, And it's just standing there, and its legs are trembling, and it's shaking, and it's so laden that it cannot take one more step. And then the addition of one more straw on the camel's back breaks it down and just causes it to fall to the ground right there where it is. The straw that broke the camel's back. It's an expression that we use. I don't know that that's actually ever happened. Maybe it has, maybe it's not. But it's an expression that we use, and we use it to illustrate the point that sometimes the addition of just one more thing, even if it's a little thing, the addition of one more thing can just be too much to bear. And that one more thing can cause us to break down. So we use the phrase, that's the straw that broke the camel's back. I was just out of interest. I was studying about some things, and what came to my mind, I wonder what the world record weightlifting record is for lifting the most weight. And I found a video of a man. I couldn't pronounce his name. He's from overseas somewhere. And this man holds the world record for squatting the most weight. And I saw a video he takes. He's got the barbell on his back and the big old weights out to the side. And he takes that on his back and he squats down and he stands back up 1,014 pounds. Can you imagine somebody being so strong that they could squat down? That's about 5 or 6 or 7 normal-sized people that we're talking about. And being so strong that you could put that on your back and squat down and stand back up, 1,014 pounds. And so I thought to myself, what about, well, if you could do 1,014, couldn't you do 1,015 pounds? I mean, just one more pound. It looks to me like that. What would be, why stop at an odd number? Why not make it even? You just put one more pound on it. But it just goes to show us this morning that even the strongest people in the whole wide world have limits. For all of us today, there can come a point where we cannot handle one more pound. We cannot lift one more straw, one more thing added to us. And Martha is like that in this passage of Scripture. Now, Martha, as we're going to look at her just a little bit today, Martha in the Bible, she is a good woman. We're not preaching anything negative at all towards Martha. You've got to have some Marthas in the church. She's a servant of servants. She's a good lady. She is a good woman. She is involved in a good thing. It was her invitation that brought the Lord Jesus Christ into her home. It wasn't somebody else's idea. It was her idea. The Bible said in verse number 38, the last part, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She received him into her house. It was her invitation. She wanted to be a blessing unto the Lord. But her receiving the Lord and all of his disciples into the house, it proved to be too much for her, and she snapped. We know what that means. We use that sometimes. Boy, what's wrong with Martha? Started out, she's in a real good mood, but now all of a sudden, and I believe we can gather that from the Scripture here, and especially verse number 40, I believe that it just proved to be too much, and she snapped on the Lord. And it turns out that there were actually many things that caused her little breakdown that she had. And that's what the Lord said to her in verse number 41, the last part. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. There was a lot of things on Martha already. And then that one more thing of preparing this meal for the Lord is just too much. And she snapped, she broke. May I say today that the holidays for many people are just harder days. You know, we call it the holidays, and that goes from Thanksgiving all the way through Christmas. And I'm not saying not to use Christmas, but just in a generic term, we call it the holidays. But for the holidays, for many people, it is actually just harder days for them. It is harder days for them, emotionally speaking. There's a lot of sadness around the holidays. There's a lot of grief. There's a lot of people, they feel loneliness for whatever the reason might be. Maybe there's regret. Maybe they wish they'd have done something before that they didn't do. They miss their mom or their dad or a child or someone who's passed away. There's grief. There's all kinds of emotions that the holidays bring out. And it's hard on people. It is a fact that drug abuse goes up. Alcohol abuse goes up during the holidays. Suicides goes up. There's always a pike around the holidays. It just becomes too much for people. And they snap and they break. Emotionally, it's harder days for some people. Physically, it's harder days for a lot of people. They're called upon to do things they are not normally doing. There's a lot of traveling. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of going here and going there. And you know, it's not like it used to be where you could go to grandma's. Now, many, many families are broken. And so there's double what there used to be once upon a time. So it's not just going to one family. It's going to maybe four or five or six places to try to satisfy all the different appearances that people feel like they have to do. And so there's a lot of pressure physically just to go and go and go. And people are frazzled and running and doing all these things. And financially speaking, it's harder days for a lot of people. It's fact in America that a lot of people just live from paycheck to paycheck. Then you've got the holidays comes along and there's this obligation to spend money that maybe people don't have to spend. And there's, somebody say, well, down at the office, you know, we're gonna exchange gifts and it's just $10 here and $20 there. And people find themselves all of a sudden obligated to spend a lot of money that maybe they don't have. That puts a lot of pressure on people. Amen. They're called upon. Well, what a blessing. You can always charge it. And then you'll get the bill in the darkest, dreariest, longest, coldest days of wintertime when you're sitting at home not able to work. And you just find you're going in the hole deeper and deeper and you can't get to. What a blessing that is. Just charge it. Put it all on the charge card. And just pay for it later on. Well, that, to me, that's not a blessing. That's how a lot of people live their life. To a lot of people, it's harder days. With that in mind, and I'm trying to be a help and want to be a blessing to you this morning, I want to notice some things about the straw that broke the camel's back. Number one, it was a straw of serving. Look in verse number 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. Think about that. Cumbered, the Bible says that word, the word cumbered, it means to be loaded down with serving. Now, let me say this morning, serving is good. We're in church today. We're all about serving. I'm not preaching an anti-serving message. We place a lot of emphasis on serving the Lord, serving in the church. The word deacon means to be a servant. We are pro-service. It is a good thing. We're not saying that. The Bible says in Galatians 5 and 13 says we ought to serve one another in love. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6 says that we're the servants of Christ. Or we might say about somebody that they have a servant's heart. Service is a good thing. But serving in and of itself will not bring you joy. Did you know that? If you just serve just to be serving, it will not make you happy. You would think that Martha would just be tickled to death. You would think that she would be on cloud nine. I mean, if you've got a servant's heart, and I believe that Martha did, what greater honor, what greater privilege could there be than to have the Lord Jesus Christ and His disciples come into your home and you have the opportunity to serve them and be a blessing to them? Wouldn't you think that would be enough to satisfy Martha's heart? Wouldn't you think that she would just be grinning from ear to ear and the happiest that she had ever been in her life because she had this opportunity to serve the Lord? But here is Martha. She's a good woman. She's got a servant's heart, and this opportunity of service, it just breaks her down to the point that she snaps. She snapped at the Lord. She falsely accused the Lord. We'll look at it here in a moment. And I ask myself the question, why do pastors quit pastoring churches? But it happens all the time. If service made you happy and fulfilled the longing of your heart to please the Lord, then nobody would ever quit pastoring a church. No church member would ever just quit church. But do you know, there's a lot of people that today they'd say, well, I used to go to church, but I don't go no more. Why not? If serving the Lord made you happy, why would anybody ever quit church? Why would anybody ever quit on the Lord? Why would many people today who one time used to serve the Lord, why are they sitting at home watching TV today if it's, I mean, let's scratch our heads and think about this. Shouldn't serving the Lord make you happy? But Martha was serving the Lord, and obviously from the Word of God, she's not happy. In fact, the straw that broke the camel's back was a straw of serving. It was the serving that brought about this crisis in her life. You ever notice that? You ever wondered about that? It was a straw of serving. Second of all, it was a straw of stress. Now look in verse number 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care? You know, just last Wednesday night, we came across this in Mark chapter number 4. The disciples were out there. The Lord had said, we're going over to the other side. And they get in the ship and what do you do on a ship? You don't travel. They're sailing. They're going to the other side. And the storm comes along and likes to drown all of them. They went into the hinder part of the ship and they woke the Lord up and they said, Lord, carest thou not that we perish? We said this on Wednesday night. Stress and tribulation and problems causes people to say and do things that otherwise they would not say and do. And that's how we find Martha here. She comes to the Lord, don't you care? Dost thou not care? Lord, don't you care that I'm doing this all by myself? Pressure. She had a pressure on her life. She didn't say that when the Lord came into her house. She said that after he had been there a while. And after she had been trying to serve him for a little while. A lot of people in the world out here, they don't like Thanksgiving. They don't like Christmas. They don't like the holidays. Did you know that? But I submit unto you this morning, it's not really that they don't like Thanksgiving, because you'd have to be crazy not to like Thanksgiving. It's not that they don't like the general idea of Christmas, but it's what gets them is it's all the stuff that goes along with it. When people say, I don't like it. I don't like the holidays. I don't like all the... I know you sing the song and we hear it on the radio, and Kim was putting up the tree yesterday and she had to have the music on to go along with it. Got to have some Christmas music on. And you turn on the radio and sure enough, you find out it's the most wonderful time of the year. Isn't that right?
It's the most wonderful time of the year. And if you don't believe it's the most wonderful time of the year, we've got a list that is a mile long to prove it. During this most wonderful time of the year, you've got parties that you've got to go to, and you've got practices that you've got to go to, and you've got outings planned for you and get-togethers, and there's baking and decorating the house and the inside of the house. And my all-time favorite is the putting up of the Christmas lights. It's got to be done. And I hate it every year. I don't know how many times I've just thrown them all away and went and bought new ones so I didn't have to untangle all that mess. But now the economy's different. We're poorer than we were, so I got to untangle that mess and hang it on the house for Kim so it can be the most wonderful time of the year. And we can, wasn't that a blessing? Even though I sinned in doing it. I know I'm not the only one. You know what I'm talking about. We've got lots to do. There's shopping to do, and there's traveling to do, and there's places to be. And some of you, you're gonna be blessed so much, you're going to get to eat Thanksgiving twice or four times in a day or 2 days, and all that running in traffic, and then Black Friday shopping. Some people are nuts. They want to get out in the middle of the night and go to Walmart. You can go to Walmart any day of the year. Why would you want to go then to save a buck? But people love it. It's the most wonderful time of the year. And you've got all these wonderful things and wonderful places and things to do. And if you don't like it, you're just a Scrooge. You ever been called a Scrooge? You're just a Scrooge. You're just the ghost of Christmas past has come and haunted your body. You're just a Scrooge. You're just the Grinch. Your heart's two sizes too small. That's what's wrong with you. That's how it is. If you don't like all this stuff, it was a straw of stress. And many times when stress comes in our life, I mean, we're going along and we're doing all right, and everybody I know just about has already got many things upon them. You've got plenty of burden, plenty of care, plenty of things to do. But now we're going to double that. We're going to triple that. And it brings about stress in our lives. And many times stress in our lives gets taken out on the Lord. Lord, don't you care? Lord, look what I'm going through. Lord, I'm trying to do this for you. Why aren't you blessing me? Why am I hating this? Why is this so much stress in my life? We're doing it for Him. Martha was doing it for Him, and Martha can't take no more. She just blessed her socks off. She said, Lord, don't you care? That's stress. That's stress crying out. You know what stress is. Everybody knows. It was a straw of stress in her life. Number three, it was a straw of strife in her life. Many times when it comes on us, Do you know what? It gets into our family. And she said to the Lord in verse number 40, dost thou not care that my sister, buddy, there's strife in the family. My sister is sitting in there listening to what you've got to say, and you don't care. And I'm in here. I can just imagine that whole thing taking place in my mind. My sister. Boy, Martha flies in there. Here comes. She invited them. Mary could have said, you're the one that invited them. You get in there and fix the meal. And maybe she did. I don't know, but it doesn't say that in the Bible. But Martha's the one that invited him in. And I can just see Martha, buddy, she's got a servant's heart, and she flies into the kitchen. And y'all just make yourselves at home, sit down in here. I'm going to put some coffee on. And buddy, she runs in, puts the water on the stove, and she gets to pulling out pots and pans and cooking boards and flour and water and all that good stuff. And buddy, she's in there rolling out the biscuits, and she's got servants saying, getting them cups down and wipe them off. And Mary's going to be in here and just a minute. And where is Mary, by the way? Maybe she's setting the table, and boy, she goes on and she's got the biscuits cut and put them in the oven, and man, she's got 10 things she's doing at once, and where's Mary at? We need some help in here. We got 13 men out there we got to feed, and everybody else too, and man, this is an opportunity of a lifetime. She looks out there in the living room. Mary's been sitting out there all that time, and she just getting hotter and hotter. You talk about it being hot in the kitchen. And all of a sudden in the kitchen, it's getting louder and louder. Pots and pans are banging on the stove. And the cabinet door's getting slammed shut. And she's getting madder and madder. And Mary's sitting in there, just sitting in there. She's in there trying to do something for God. And Mary's sitting out there, just listening to what they're talking about, listening to the Lord. Can't you just imagine that in your mind? And Martha, she's more and more upset, and she probably went out and wrung some more chickens' necks just to make sure they had enough. I mean, she's had it up to here. And she can't hardly take any more. I love what the Bible says in Psalms 133 in verse number 1. You ought to find it and underline it and tape it on your refrigerator. It says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." That is the most blessed, wonderful thing in the whole wide world, is God's people to just get along and love one another and have unity and peace and all these things. It's wonderful. Home ought to be heaven on earth. Many times home's hell on earth. I don't mean that in a cursing type of way. I just mean it's awful what goes on behind closed doors. Come to church smiling, grinning, acting like everything's all right, and go home, and it's a fight and a fuss from walking through the door to getting out sometimes. I mean, not at my house. I'm talking about other people's house. It's an awful thing. Fight in the church. You talk about killing a preacher. Let there be strife among God's people. Let there be fighting going on. Let there be trouble. Let there be jealousy in the home. You talk about tearing mama's heart out and daddy's heart out, or maybe they're the ones fussing and feuding, and it's tearing the heart of the children out. But there ought to be unity among anybody in the world. If there is peace, it ought to be among the people of God. It ought to be in our homes. It ought to be real, not a put-on thing. Talk about turning young people off. Haul them to church and act like everything's all right. And go home and cut and slash and bicker with one another. You think they don't see that there's a contradiction there? Oh, I thought we were supposed to be Christians, but evidently that's just in public. Let there be peace. There ought to be peace. I've told before, that's a law at my house. We're going to get along. If I have to kill them all, we're going to get along. I'm speaking not literally there. But here, we don't have peace going on in the home. My sister, a lot of times it's instead of like Psalms 133 and verse 1, it's like Titus 3 and 3, where it says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." That's how a lot of homes are. It's how they act. Fuss and fight and bicker and whine and cry and argue with one another, hateful and hating one another. That's a characteristic of lost people. It's what the Bible said we used to live like. If God's redeemed us and saved us, we ought not to live like that. Hateful and hating one another, but that's how they were acting. That's what it was going to come to. Here in Luke chapter number 10, it should have been a picture that Norman Rockwell could have come and painted the scene and sold it in the gift shops down in Jerusalem as a perfect picture of serving the Lord. Here's this family. Boy, what a picture perfect postcard. Martha, Mary, Lazarus was in there, the Lord Jesus. It should have just been grand and wonderful, but it wasn't. There's problems going on. There's a straw that's going to break the camel's back, and you have division and ill will and strife. Why is that going on? It should have been the most wonderful time of the year. We'll see why. It was a straw of strife. Number four, it was a straw of sickness. Verse number 41, the Bible said, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Now, I'm going to go just a little bit farther in what I'm saying about this. The Lord Jesus said to Martha, He said, "You are careful and troubled about many things." And it needs to be addressed. Careful and troubled in the Bible, it means this. It means she was anxious, she was worried, she was troubled, like you would take water and stir it up and get all the muck and mire and going on. There was a lot of disturbance in Mary's life. There's a lot going on underneath the surface there. And I say it was a straw of sickness because I believe that's where it would have ended up. Your mental and your spiritual state affects your physical body. Now, the doctor may not tell you that, but I'm telling you, I've seen that over and over and over again. People will go through a time of great stress in their lives. It may be, that they couldn't even help it. Maybe somebody else has been sick and they're strong and then they just get the point they can't take it anymore and they end up sick. They end up in the hospital. They end up with medical problems. They end up, after getting somebody else through a great sickness, they end up getting cancer. They end up having a heart attack or something like that. Now, I'm not saying that everybody that is sick is careful and troubled about many things, but I'm saying many people who are sick were first careful and troubled about many things. And that mental pressure and that spiritual problem, it led into a physical problem. My doctor told me one time, and I know I've told you this, he said, "Most of the people I see have a spiritual problem that is causing them to be physically sick. If they would just address the spiritual problem, it'd help them physically." You see, God made us a triune being. What I mean, we are made up of spirit and body and soul. Don't you think it just makes sense that what's going on in one area affects another area and affects another area? Sure it does. I believe I can prove that from the Bible. Look in, keep your place here. I want you to turn to 3 John. 3 John is right before the book of Revelation. The book of 3 John and verse number 2. I was looking at this again yesterday, and I've read this and quoted this. I knew what it said before I turned over there. 3 John is right before Jude and in the book of Revelation. It's just one book. It's not even two chapters. It's just one chapter. And 3 John, verse number 2, John said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." You know that "even as" ties in the health of the body with the health of the soul. They both need to prosper. He said, "It is my wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." And mental anguish and stress and spiritual problems and having sin and never confessing, never repenting, do you know it eventually works its way out into our physical bodies? There's more people get sick at Thanksgiving and Christmas than any other time of the year. I've always thought it's because we probably quadruple our sugar intake. That's probably got something to do with it. But it also has something to do with all the stress that people get under. And it just physically makes them sick. We have all seen that. Why is it in Martha's life there's all this stress and all this strife and going to be all this sickness? She's careful. She's troubled about many things. Stress is a killer. It'll get to you. It'll make you sick. Why all these things? I'm going to show you one more thing and I'll be done. There is, number five, there's the Savior's answer in verse number 42. And there's three quick things I want to show you there. Look what the Bible says in verse 42. Jesus said, but one thing is needful. And Mary had chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. There's three things. There's one thing. He said it's the good part. Number three, he said it shall not be taken away from her. He said in verse number 42, but one thing is needful. You ought to underline that in your Bible. He didn't say you need 10 things, one thing. There's one thing that is absolutely necessary. Try as we may, there's no end to the many things. There's always going to be something else to do. I've tried and thought in my mind, what could we do to simplify our lives, to get some of the unnecessary things out so that we're not running and going and burning all the time. And I mean, it's something all the time. But I have learned this. I don't believe there will ever be an end to the many things. Now, if you get fed up running around, running up down the road and going here and going there, just remember this. There is an answer. There's an answer that you wouldn't have to worry about where you're going to go eat and stand in line after church or how many places you're going to go and gifts to buy. There's an answer to all that. It's called poverty. The only reason we can go like we go is because of the blessing of God upon our lives. I mean, we could be so poor you couldn't afford to do nothing but sit at the house. So next time you're griping about how much you got to do, just think about why you're able to do it. Could be the Great Depression number two. Just think about that. I mean, we all have a lot to do, but we could have nothing to do nothing with. And what we have, we ought to use to be a blessing to others. Well, that's a whole other message in and of itself. There's never going to be an end to the many things, but Jesus said there's one thing that is needful. It is found in verse number 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also, here's what it is, sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. Serving, and here I'm answering what I asked at the beginning. Shouldn't serving make you happy? Shouldn't Martha have been happy? But serving is no substitute for sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing His word. Serving is no substitute for reading your Bible and going to God in prayer and having a personal one-on-one relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary sat at His feet and heard His word. Jesus said, that's the one thing that's needful. I found this, if I'm stressed, I'm probably not walking with God like I ought to be. I've probably let something else come in between. I've got rushed. I've read my Bible. I always read my Bible. Read my Bible every day. But I've rushed through it. I didn't get nothing out of it. I didn't sit at His feet and hear His word. I went through a habit. The habit of reading your Bible every day. It's good. But did you really sit at His feet and hear His word? That's a whole different thing altogether. Jesus said one thing is needful. If my relationship with the Lord is right and I'm walking with Him and I'm walking in fellowship with the Lord, then a lot of these other things, they really don't bother me that much. But you get out of whack with the Lord, I'm just using our common everyday language, And every little thing under the sun will drive you nuts. You'll be biting and snapping and short and hating it. People said, well, I enjoyed that message. I never preached to anybody. I just preached to myself. And if anybody else gets anything out of it, that's a bonus. That's a blessing. He said, one thing is needful. It is in sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing His Word that we have fellowship. That's where inspiration comes from. Man, I want to do something for God. That's where revival comes from. That's where vision comes from. There's no substitute. That's where joy comes from. Proverbs 29 and verse number 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. You can serve and have no joy whatsoever, but you can meet with the Lord and have revival in your heart, and you want to do something to be a blessing to somebody else. That's the difference. I'm not saying don't serve, but you know what? I don't want anybody doing anything they don't want to do. You ever tried to wring somebody's arm and get them to get up and sing in front of the church and they didn't want to? That's not a blessing. Don't do it. If you don't want to do it in your heart, don't do it. It will not be a blessing. It might be pretty, but it won't be a blessing. We ought to want to do what we're doing. Sit at His feet, hear His Word, get revival in your heart. You'll find you want to do some things. Be a blessing. One thing is needful. I've never noticed this. I've preached out of this several times. I've never noticed that Jesus said that was the good part. He said that good part. And we're all interested in the good part, aren't we? Would you have Thanksgiving dinner this coming Thursday and everybody gets together and, man, you got everything laid out there and you say, well, there's no turkey. Where's the turkey? That's the good part. All the rest is just side art. Now, I'd trade the turkey for the pumpkin pie. For me, if I went and there was no pumpkin pie, I'd say, what's going on here? That's the good part. That's what I've been looking forward to. I want a piece of pumpkin pie and I want a piece of pecan pie. And if I don't get that, man, I've been robbed. That's the good part. Jesus said, that's the good part. Why would you skip the good part? What if you went to a football game and you said, I went to a football game and I got in the crowd and I had some good food and we saw the band play and we saw the cheerleaders and we saw all that stuff and somebody said, who won the game? And you said, well, they didn't even play the game. Didn't have a football game. You'd say, that's crazy. That's the good part. That's why you went. Why would you leave out the good part? You come to Christmas morning and it's time to open the gifts and they say, what'd you get? Oh, we didn't even open the gifts. Why didn't you do that? That's the good part. That's why you hung the stupid lights on the house so you could open the gifts. It's all part of the process. You can't have one without the other. That's what it's leading up to. That's the good part. I want my socks. I've done a lot of work for that. You know how it is. Jesus said that's the good part. The good part is the fellowship with the Lord. The good part is that we can walk with God and know and have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And He puts revival in our heart. And I want to do something for Him. Be a blessing to others. That's the good part. And the Lord Jesus said, look at verse 42. Which shall not be taken away from her. Martha said, tell her to get up and get in this kitchen and help me. That's what that means. Bid her, she come. Tell her to get off her tail and get in the kitchen there. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. The Lord said, no. No, she's chosen the one needful thing. It's the good part. And I'm not going to take it away from her. Do you know the Lord does not require or recommend us doing anything that will take you away from Him. Serving is necessary. Serving is wonderful. But if serving takes you away from the Lord Jesus Christ, it's no good. Jesus said, I'm not going to take that away from her. She needs that. This is absolutely, positively necessary. This is the most important thing. It's the one needful thing. Everything else, there's always going to be something else to do, somewhere else to go, but I'm not going to take away the good part from her. We need to sit at His feet. We need to hear His word. That's the important thing. You say, oh, preacher, I've got so much on me. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isn't that a blessing? He knows we've got a load. He wants to help carry that load. And I hope it'll be a help to somebody. I hope it'll be a blessing to somebody. And it's not just words on paper. It's not just, but I'm telling you, it's a real thing. That the Lord says, I will take that burden. I will take that hate and I'll give you some happy. And it could be, it can be, all year can be the most wonderful time of the year if we're walking with Him like we ought to be. If you're saved by the grace of God, you ought to have joy in what you do for Him. It ought to be a joyous thing to serve the Lord. I love it. I'm going to do it whether nobody else does or not. I love it. He put it on my heart to do. I want to do it for Him. That's how the attitude ought to be. If we're saved by the grace of God, there ought to be joy in serving Him. There ought to be joy that surrounds the things that surrounds the things of God. If Thanksgiving and Christmas isn't about the Bible and Christ, I don't know what is. It ought to be a joyous time. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.